Welcome in, Iowa Hawkeye fans, to another episode of the Hawkeye Tailgate Report. I am Luke Myers. Joey and Stan are here as well, and we have a special guest, a former live guest member, or a live crowd member, Mr. Trent Pruitt. Trent, welcome aboard. Welcome
Trent
to the squad.
Trent Pruitt of what?
Primetime Sports Betting Network. Thanks for having me, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Trent's
happy Pi Day. 314.
Nerd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's everybody's favorite type of pie? Real quick, let's just knock this out of the park. Rhubarb.
Ooh, good
just
one.
Rhubarb?
Apple pie.
Peach. All right, Joey, do you answer?
No.
Oh, okay.
Hair? Hair pie.
Hair pie, yeah.
All right.
Cream. Let's get right to it here. Fellas, we lost to Penn State on January 31st, and I thought our season was over. And here we sit. What's the date? March 14th, and Pi Day. We're Big Ten champs. Who ever thought this was coming?
Not me. Hand up. I had fully given up. Yeah. After that Penn State loss, Iowa was playing some of the worst basketball that we'd seen them play, like in the McCaffrey era. Just like. But not making shots, the ball was getting bogged down, like not assisting, not rebounding, and then we fucking made the switch, Tony Perkins into the starting lineup and Jabo back to the starting point guard, and everything changed for the season.
The way that they turned around the rebounding on this team is like mind-boggling. We were getting out-rebounded by like 20, 30 rebounds like in multiple games, and now we're doing that to teams. And that just proves that is 100% an effort thing.
Yeah.
It's not like our guys got taller or anything like that. They're just trying hard to get rebounds, probably because Fran chewed their asses.
Well, I mean, yeah. We're also playing awesome defense. It's like everything that Iowa has traditionally done terrible throughout Fran's tenure. It's just like Fran threw everything away and said, hey, let's go play some defense and watch some Wisconsin film. Like, it's nuts. It's
of course,
nuts.
A lot of turnovers as well yesterday.
Oh,
there were so many turnovers. Yeah. That was great defense.
Yeah, I don't think that Iowa so much. I don't think Fran necessarily like threw away all his defensive concepts mid-season. That's not something that you do. But I think we're finally seeing Iowa get the type of high-level guard play that you need to defend at like a big-time level in like Power 5 college basketball. Like Tony Perkins is an absolute dog on defense. Like Keegan and Chris have the length to disrupt passing lanes. Joe Toussaint, who could have taken his benching. And just kind of moped about it, but he embraced his role as like a defender, kind of pace setter coming in off the bench. Like it's all those things kind of coming together that I think really is what turned around kind of the whole defensive effort for the team.
Yeah, and then like it was so weird because I don't think any Iowa fan in the world, if you would have told them Josh Ogundele and Riley Mulvey were going to play meaningful minutes in the first half of a Big Ten championship, that I would think most people thought we were getting our asses beat. Right?
Well, first of all, when you saw Josh out there, like my jaw sort of hit the floor, like he never plays, but he actually
he like, did exactly about, what he was asked to do.
He matches up very well with Edie, if you think about it. Edie is tall, 7'4", has zero moves. He's literally out there because he's tall.
Man, I got to say something about that guy, if you don't mind me interrupting. That guy looks like the biggest virgin I've ever seen. He just looks like a big old goof out there.
I mean, he does go to Purdue, which is like 70% of their student population.
I mean,
dude, so
you can probably play a separate basketball game on his forehead.
It's just going to be the roast Edie episode.
Anyway, by the way, I do have Purdue going pretty far in the tournament. But Edie has no moves. Josh wouldn't give him an inch on defense because he – probably outweighs him. And so Edie was just like, Edie was just hitting a brick wall there. And Josh on offense could go under him. So yeah. I think it's a good matchup for him, honestly.
Yeah. Josh Ogundele, best kept secret in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Our, the way we figured out how to play our bigs yesterday was awesome because Josh did awesome against Edie, but he was getting cooked by Travion Williams. So they'd bring in Rebracha or Connor and have Keegan double him on the low post. Mm-hmm. Although Travion's a hell of a player.
He might be the best passer in the Big Ten.
Best passing big man that I've seen in a long time. He was throwing dimes across the court.
They were crazy.
Yeah. I was very critical of Fran McCaffrey after the Indiana game. I thought that he ran out some bad lineups. And I kind of live tweeted in frustration with like 5 minutes to go when we were down like 9 or 10. I said, this game's on Fran McCaffrey. And then obviously like we pulled it around. So as for as critical as I was of him for during the Indiana game, like he gets all the fucking credit in the world for how he coached that Big Ten championship game, because he like putting in a Gundelay and Mulvey, like going 13 deep, like he pressed all the right buttons, had all of the right matchups. I cannot sing his praises enough for the way that he coached on Sunday.
My only complaint from Fran yesterday was there was maybe like under 5 minutes to play, and Iowa had an 8-point lead. And Purdue scored 7 points in 47 seconds, and I was screaming for a timeout after the second made bucket.
I mean, he did take a timeout. Like,
but it was a bucket after that.
You can only take a timeout so fast. Like 47 seconds is like, it's not like he let him go for like a 4 minute stretch where we were getting our asses beat. Like he took the timeout, and then Connor had what, the biggest bucket of his Iowa career, probably. Like immediately out of that timeout, he hit that and one, put us back up by four. Like that's probably the best play of his career. Like he's playing, as much as people have wanted to dog on Connor for his entire Iowa career, he's playing the best ball of his life and the most important stretch of Iowa basketball in recent memory.
I think if I think winning the Big Ten might have sealed his decision. I think he might just go graduate now.
I think that he was probably going to do that anyway. Yeah. Just like with all the injuries and stuff that he's been through, well, I feel like he was probably just going to hang it up anyway. But like seeing him and Fran embrace after the game, and then like Fran and Patrick, like just seeing that, like it kind of, I don't know, all the emotions hit me at one time when that happened. It was just like, that's a guy that's put his body on the line for Iowa for the last 5 years, and like to finally see the fruits of his labor like come through there, it was awesome.
And he's also taken a lot of shit from a lot of fans. Flashback to three podcasts ago, Luke compared him to John Licklider.
That was so disrespectful.
No, I did not.
Also, yes, you did.
I remember, I think it was his sophomore or freshman year, one of you two, I was just specifically remember saying, Connor McCaffrey is not good at basketball. I believe it was Stin.
It could have been me, but no. But also, I remember in a season preview, I think, for his sophomore or junior year, I also said that he was the player on the Iowa team that I was most excited to watch for a comeback player. We can run back the tapes if we have to. So
I'm not sitting through tapes.
I'm saying if we have to.
Yeah.
If we have to, I will. But I just feel like, I don't know, that's kind of how fans are, especially in college basketball. Like, you ride the ups and the downs. Like, when players are doing good, you love them. When they're playing bad, you kind of dog on them. Like, I don't know. Whatever happened in the past happened in the past. Let's just be happy about how good he and the entire Iowa team is playing right now.
All right. So, do we want to talk about Indiana at all? That game?
I mean, there's a legacy-defining three by J-Bo that happened. I feel like we can't not talk about that.
Well, what about, are we going to just go over the first two games, too?
There's not a whole lot that has to be said about the Northwestern game.
Records were set, multiple records. That is important.
Would they score 114 points or 112?
112.
And they smoked them.
Yeah, losers.
I was walking home from work, and I had one of my earphones in. I was listening on YouTube TV, and it was right when they were about to make their 15th three, and my phone was behind, and somebody drove by and was listening to Dolph on the radio, and I heard, I think it was J-Bo that made it.
Yeah,
I heard him say, "And J-Bo makes the 15th three," and like I just lit up, and then I knew it was coming on my phone. Ah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean everything worked in that game like that.
That was like the definition of a perfect basketball game. Like, Iowa cannot play better than they did in that Northwestern game.
Iowa does not lose to a single team in the country if they play that game. Like,
I mean, not a lot of teams do. Scoring 112 points.
When he put up 64 points and a half of like a Power 5 tournament game, like it's, you're not losing that game if you're scoring that way.
To put that in perspective, Iowa scored 46 against Rutgers the first time, and ISU scored 36 like a month ago in a whole game, and brutal. We scored 64 and a half, so that is absolutely insane to think about. But
for as good as we played that game, I think that like also it was a huge benefit to us that like all of our starters and even like our first, second, and third bench options didn't have to play for the last 10 or 12 minutes of that game. Like, Iowa played four games in 4 days. To be able to get your regulars like a good amount of rest during the course of the game, I think that shouldn't be overlooked as a factor towards Iowa's success throughout the tournament. Like, tired legs happen, like, when you go that far. To be able to get that amount of rest while playing a game, I think, is a big factor.
Got to keep the legs fresh come tournament time.
It's big. Yesterday after we beat Purdue, I didn't realize Keegan played all 40 minutes, and apparently he told a reporter that...
I did not either.
Yeah, he told a reporter that he could rest today. It was championship on the line or something like that. You got to love that.
That's kind of the mentality you have to have in that situation, I think. Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this team, it's not like we coasted through the Friday or Saturday game at all. We were got down by 11 early against Rutgers, I think, and then 10 against Indiana.
Was it ever 10 against Indiana? I think
it was like 14.
It was 8 in the game, right? I think it was, they were down 8 late in the game. Is that right, Austin? And then they ran.
They were
comeback.
Down 9 with 6 minutes to go.
I think, yeah, that was the biggest Indiana's lead was, because we actually led for most of that game.
Indiana's a nightmare matchup for us in the post. We don't have anybody that can guard Trace Jackson Davis. That dude's a stud. We're just lucky that they can't shoot.
Race Thompson's a good 5-2. Those two are, like, Purdue has bigs. Indiana has athletic bigs, like athletic bigs.
Like, Trace Jackson Davis is an NBA type.
Oh, yeah, he'll get in the NBA. There's no doubt about that.
We had no choice but to double him and leave somebody open on the perimeter, and luckily, like I said, they can't shoot. So.
And, I mean, even doubling him didn't work that well. He had 31 points against us.
Yeah,
it was just Purdue, as weird as it is to say, we match up against Purdue way better than we do against Indiana, even though Purdue is, like, a way better team than Indiana is. But, like, their athletic bigs were just not a good matchup for us at all. So,
it was weird because when you think of Iowa-Purdue games in the past, what happens? Purdue shoots 25 three-pointers and makes 18 of them. And, Purdue didn't really shoot that many yesterday. I don't know the final number, but it doesn't feel like Purdue shot that many. You know? It was like they got away from everything that's absolutely murdered Iowa in the past.
They were 5 for 20.
5 for 20?
Does that sound right? Yeah, not very good.
Yeah, in the past, they go 12 or 13 for 20.
Also, I'm amazed Stefanovic didn't pull out like a 7 for 9 shooting night on us from 3, because he's like the exact type of shooting guard that they have that just buries threes down our throat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to talk about virgins. That guy might be on the list too, Stefanovic.
I don't know.
I mean, he is probably like 80 years old with his balding head, but
he's got some mean male pattern baldness, yeah.
But we do have to touch on Jordan Bohannon because he hit the clutch. I'll say it. It's probably the clutchest shot in Iowa history. I know there was one in like the 80s or something that sent him to the Sweet 16, I think.
So that would qualify as more clutch, I would say.
Yeah, but like you don't hear about it. Everybody's going to remember Jordan Bohannon. Whether you liked him or you hated him, he just fucking made the biggest shot in Iowa history.
He made a lot of the biggest shots in Iowa history.
Yeah. He had the clutch gene. He had a bad shooting game for almost that entire Indiana game. He was like 1 for 6 from 3 up until the last 3 minutes. And then he hit like 2 threes for us to get like tied. And then he obviously hit that 3 for the win. So it just, after we got down by 9, we took a timeout or whatever. We had 9 possessions, and we scored on all 9 of them. I think we scored like 22 points, like from that point on. Like, we just couldn't miss. Keegan Murray was unconscious from 3 that game, went 8 for 10. That's something that we're not really talking about enough. Just Keegan in general. I know that we talk about his greatness because he is great. He set like the Big Ten tournament record for most points in a tournament. Like, the Iowa basketball team set the record for most points in a tournament, most three-pointers made, most field goals. Like, they kind of dominated the whole tournament, but like They had the best offensive numbers of any team in the history of the Big Ten tournament.
112 doesn't hurt that. But, yeah, Jordan Bohannon nailed that shot. If you don't like Jordan Bohannon, that's fine. Keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. Some of my favorite Iowa memories are strictly Jordan Bohannon related. So it's like, whatever. And yeah, I'm on my knees for him right now, Joey. Give me a break. The dude's a legend. And like,
I'm just glad the banks are open on Saturday in Indianapolis, you know?
So open.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta love that customer service. But, good joke, Joey.
No.
But like, even if I was watching it with my family, the Indiana game, and with 6 minutes, Joey, you know how our family is, notoriously negative for the most part, correct?
I think that's 98% of Iowa fans.
Okay.
We've been conditioned to expect failure for most of our career, like most of our fandoms.
With 6 minutes left, Iowa was down 9, and one of my uncles said, "That's it, game over, nail in the coffin."
Oh, hand up. I was right there with
him. I
thought that was over as well.
Yeah, I didn't think, I knew it was possible, so I didn't say anything. But after the game when they won, I'm like, I'm so glad we won so I can look at people like you and thank you for that. Because that's just fucking, that just drives me nuts when people do that. I mean, me, Joey, and Austin know as good as well as anybody. We were at the game against Northwestern in 2019 where we scored 15 points in the final 4 minutes. It's like...
Yeah, but that doesn't happen. Like, that's the anomaly. Obviously, it's possible. Like, I went to the bathroom when we were down 9. I'm like, whatever happens. And they turn the ball over.
Yeah, immediately Perkins turned the ball over. Like,
I mean, think of what had to happen for us to come back from that.
Yeah. We literally made, like, 9 shots in a row to end the game. Like, we got stops. We got steals. Like, Jordan Bohannon banks in a miracle 35-shot 3 at the buzzer. Like, I'm not apologizing for it. Like, obviously, Iowa figured their shit out. They played well enough to win. But, like, to say that you expected that to happen it's not true.
Oh, I'm also, not saying that.
No, but I'm also not going to give anybody a hard time that figured the game was over at that point.
Okay,
because
Joey,
like anybody, like no matter what game I was watching, if somebody went up 9 with what 4 minutes left,
six.
You're like, okay, it's getting there. But anybody that says the Jordan Bohannon shot was lucky can
go
kiss my ass.
A kite.
Because okay, put it this way: if Filip Hrabacha throws up that shot, there's not a fucking chance it goes in. You have to be a good shooter to give that ball a chance to go in. I've been saying this all along. Yeah. I used to say this when we would play at the fucking gym and I was making these clown shots and everybody's like, "You're just the luckiest fucker." There's a reason I'm not a good shooter by any means, but there's a reason. It's because I practice stupid shots like that. Like J-Bo, I guarantee, practices that shot. He practices all these goofy shots and it pays off in a situation like that.
Oh, and then how about, was it in at the end of the first half yesterday? He hit one, right?
Yeah.
Was it right at the half was ending? Shot clock was going down?
I think the shot clock actually had expired, but Purdue just inbounded the ball immediately because it was a running clock situation instead of, like, stopping to review it. Because there were definitely some, like, screenshots after the game where the ball was in his hands and the shot clock was at zero.
But if you watched it live, the buzzer didn't sound until it was well out of his hands.
No, but if the clock is at zero, that's the one that matters.
I don't know. There may have been some weird discrepancies going on there.
Hey, whatever, I'll take it.
Yeah, we don't bitch about that. So now Iowa gets a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. I like the draw. I could have seen us at a 4, but whatever. You get Richmond in the first round. So do we want to talk about the men's tournament right now, or do we want to go to the women's basketball team, also Big Ten champs?
Yeah, no, let's talk about the men's. And let me tell you that I think it's horseshit that we're a 5 seed and we're like technically the worst 5 seed. What's the point of playing the Big Ten tournament? Because we were like, I know that's not what they base off, but we were ranked 24th in the AP poll before the Big Ten tournament. And we rip off 4 wins in a row, I believe 2 of which were quad one, right? So you're telling me that actually doesn't bring us up at all? They had to have had their mind made up before the tournament even happened.
Yeah,
it's kind of BS. I thought they would have been at least a 4, or at most a 4.
Yeah, I think that by the time Selection Sunday rolls around, the committee has essentially put together what their bracket is going to be outside of a bid stealer, and then they're kind of set in stone at that, because like Iowa fans think that we deserve to be higher than a five, and I know there's a lot of Tennessee fans out there too after they won the SEC championship game that are saying they should be higher than a three. And I mean, if you win four games in 4 days in a Power Five conference to win your like conference championship, I think that that should carry weight, but apparently that doesn't, because I mean, not like when you go right from the Big Ten championship game into the selection show, you know, 30 minutes later, they weren't rearranging their bracket.
Well,
at that point in time.
I think they could have had multiple iterations of it to be like, here's what's going to happen if Iowa wins. Here's what's going to happen if Iowa and Tennessee win. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not that hard because there was only like, what, three games yesterday? So they could have had a few different options. Yeah. Like, If this team wins, this is the bracket we'll go with. But
yes. Yeah, but like you can say we got screwed on our seeding if you want, but I actually like the matchups and the teams we like. If we had gotten a one, Kansas would have been the one I would have picked. Like, who's our two?
Oh yeah,
Auburn. I'd take Auburn. Like
Auburn kind of scares me. They played bad basketball recently. But they're also the type of team where, like, if they're clicking, they're one of the best teams in all of basketball.
Plus, Bruce Pearl has ties to Iowa, right? I'm sure that'd be one that he would, I'm sure, love to win if he played us.
Yeah. I think just, like, us being in the Midwest bracket, and then if we were to advance to the Sweet 16, that game would be played in Chicago. That's a pretty favorable outcome for Iowa.
And oh, baby, is Van McCaffrey making the trip to Chicago?
Yeah, Van McCaffrey will be there.
Depends on what Stinn's bank account is telling him at that point in time.
Hey, credit, baby. All credit.
I'm going to need a couple mortal locks from you, Trent, so I can get that gambling account up to pay for that.
Hey, there's Coyotes
here, right? I'll get right on it. Yeah, the Yotes, I think they're tied after one period, so keep an eye on it.
But yeah, Iowa gets Richmond on Thursday at 2:10 on True TV.
Richmond, Little Dickie University. Little Dickie studied business there, I believe.
The Jew biz mage?
Yep.
It's a fun fact.
And then if they beat Richmond, they get Providence or South Dakota. And Providence is certainly a team I would prefer playing over other four seeds. So, again, I'm pretty all right with where we're sitting in the bracket.
Yeah. How much weight do you guys put? So, like, Providence on KenPom is considered to be the luckiest team in all of Division One. How much weight do you guys actually put to that? Because I think you can look at it from both sides of the coin. On one side, you can be like, oh, they got some, like, a couple breaks to go for them. They got a loose ball. Like, they didn't tip a ball out of bounds. But at the same time, you can also be like, maybe they just know how to win a close game, too. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
That's what I think. I think it's the latter there. I think it's like they won a lot of close games, right? That's why they're considered lucky. A couple bounces go their way, but I don't know. They're a quality team. They're what, 25-5 or something like that?
Yeah.
You don't go 25-5 by mistake.
The Big East, I mean, the Big East is no slouch of a conference either.
Basketball is good.
I watched a lot of – that's probably my favorite brand of basketball to watch in college basketball. I bet on the Big East a lot, lost a lot. But it's fun to watch. It's physical. Like, I don't know. It's just a lot more fun to watch in Big Ten basketball, in my opinion.
Yeah, they got some good teams out there. Villanova, Creighton, Xavier, Providence. Like, there's some good teams out there. I mean, fun basketball to watch. I think that – I'm more in the camp of I think that they just learned how to win close games. But that being said, I think that they would be a pretty favorable 4-5 matchup for us to meet them in the second round.
You can learn how to win close games, but at a certain point, you have to learn to not play in close games. You know, if that makes any sense. Like, there's no
easy
side.
For us to say we beat everybody by double digits.
Yeah, like 21 of Iowa's 20. What actually more than that? Like 22 of our 26 wins this year were by double digits. That's insane.
But then also look at like we have one. We beat Virginia on the road at the buzzer. We beat Indiana at the buzzer on a neutral site. We beat Purdue in a close game down the stretch. We have played in close games and we've won those close games.
Some of them. I think that Indiana game is huge for us moving into the NCAA tournament just because, like, the way that Iowa had just been absolutely kicking the shit out of everybody that they were playing, fun, and like they'll probably be able to do that to a team or two in the NCAA tournament. But you're going to, in this tournament, you're going to be playing in a game where you have to scrap one out like that. So to have that experience and like know in the back of your mind that we've been there before, we can do it, I think that'll be huge, like that experience for them to lean on at some point in the tournament.
I also just feel a lot better about this team winning a close game than I do. This is the most confident I've ever been in an Iowa team that I've watched. And I think it's the mentality. Like, you look at Perk. I've said this like a couple weeks ago. He walks around like he's just permanently pissed off. Like, he's permanently got a chip on his shoulder. Yesterday, I saw a picture that like the Iowa Hoops page posted of them like holding the trophy. Like, he just like stone-faced, just like ready for the next fucking team. And I think that mentality is like, it runs deep in this team.
Yeah. Also, like specifically for the tournament this year, like, we had expectations for Iowa basketball last season. Were they probably a little bit unrealistic? Yeah, because we were talking about, like, national championship stuff before the season ever started. And then it came tournament time, and we got ran the fuck out of the gym by Oregon. And that game kind of showcased the need for high-level guard play when it comes to this point in the year. And nothing against last year's team, because, like, Joe Wieskamp was good. Obviously, Luka Garza is an all-time great. Like, they had really good players, but we just got out-athleticed for, like, that entire game. That's not happening to this year's Iowa team.
Well, they got out-athleticed, and, like, Wieskamp had no killer instinct. Like, you look, the mentality of, like, Ulis, Perkins, Toussaint, compared to that of Joe Wieskamp, some of those guys, it's like
not even Frederick.
Yeah, CJ Frederick, so lethargic all the time. I mean, Frederick, when he got hot, like, he was shooting well, but like in terms of defense,
he was very passive all the time, though.
I don't know.
Who has words to say about CJ?
Yeah, CJ Frederick is a joke. But Keegan Murray has, I would say, if Wieskamp had, like, Wieskamp was a very talented scorer from a lot of places on the floor. Keegan Murray, I don't know what the difference is. He just knows how to, like, he's aggressive. Would you say he's aggressive?
He's more confident, that's for sure. And he's definitely more athletic.
He's bigger also. Like, he's just got a better, like, basketball body. I think that their skill sets are similar, but, like, Keegan is a little bit bigger, a little bit more athletic, like, maybe has a little bit better instinct. I don't know. It's kind of a lot of small things, but, which is not, I don't want this to come off as us, like, shitting on Joe Wieskamp, because he was great. We loved him. But Keegan is just, like, a different kind of special.
Seems like he can take it to the hole. Like, he has that confidence to go to the rim and try and get a bucket.
Yeah, oh, I mean, he can. Even, like, that dunk, yeah, he can do it all. He's, like, we said this last year with Luka, but we are truly not going to have a player like Keegan Murray for a long time.
Except for Chris Murray
Chris
next
Murray.
Year.
Chris Murray is going to be good. He's not going to be Keegan.
Yeah, I agree.
Nobody thought Keegan was going to be who he is this year either. Like, we thought that he was going to be, like, the team's best player, but you'd be lying if you said that you expected his leap this year, like, after last season.
Last year, after the season ended, there was a NBA mock draft that came out. Do you remember? And it had Keegan going in the first round and to the Lakers at 23. And we all thought that was wild.
Yeah, Lakers might have a higher pick now.
Oh, man, my Thunder are going to be sitting there. They're going to be looking tasty. Oh,
no,
God.
No. He needs to go to the Spurs so that we can call him Slim Duncan. And it could be Murray and Murray, attorneys at law. Because it's I guess that could be at Iowa, too.
Yeah,
but with DeJounte Murray and Keegan, that'd be sick.
But so
too late to start it now at Iowa. Murray and Murray attorney at laws. It's too late. You can't just say that in this final couple games here.
Yeah. Five more games. We got to bring it around.
Print the shirts.
But yeah, we're coming down on Keegan's last couple games here. Hopefully, he has at least a couple more left in him. Hopefully, six.
Last couple games of the season.
Funny.
He's back.
I think he could come back next year.
I think you're Joey. Fooling yourself into thinking something that you want to happen.
Just
there's no way.
Listen, can I give my rationale?
No.
So he's a legacy Hawk. His dad's here. His brother's here. That I feel like that's worth something to somebody.
Is it worth several millions of dollars?
Listen, Listen, he can get that next year.
He's not going to make that in an NIL deal. If he has
No, I'm saying next year he goes to the draft. He's going to make just as much fucking money.
Unless he tears his ACL or something.
I don't think the Murrays are struggling. I don't think he's not one of these guys that needs to go to the NBA to get his family out of, like, out of poverty or anything like that. So that I don't think is an issue. In the NBA, you're not going to get your entire career derailed by one injury. Sean Livingston's leg fell off, and that dude went on to win championships.
He was also an established NBA player at the time. His draft stock will tank drastically if he comes back for another year and has, like, a ligament damage in one of his knees. He stands to gain absolutely nothing by coming back for another year.
And this is where it depends what he values. So he's going to be an Iowa legend after this year no matter what. Say we get bounced in the fucking round of 32, Sweet 16. He comes back next year, he's going to be the Iowa legend. He gets drafted this year, he's going to just go be a guy in the NBA. Nobody's going to fucking talk about him. He stays around another year, potentially takes us farther next year, gets insane stats.
His stats aren't going to be that
he's
much
gonna be,
more.
He's going to be the guy everybody thinks of when they think of college basketball for a whole other year. He could be a superstar in college basketball for another year. He's going to go to the NBA. He's going to be a fine player. He's going to be fine. But he's not going to be what he is in college basketball.
He's a superstar right now. He has nothing more to prove in playing college basketball.
Really? Does he have a championship?
That doesn't matter, Joey. He's a surefire going to play in the NBA type of guy. You don't be like, I want to come back to maybe win a national championship, which is way more difficult to do than, like, playing well in the NBA. I'd say just because college basketball is so fluky. Like, he's got guaranteed, like, $7 million looking out ahead of him. Like, he's going to be a lottery pick. He gains nothing by coming back to Iowa except for his legacy at Iowa, which has kind of cemented itself already anyway, the way that he's played this year. Joey, I would love for him to come back. I think that you're talking yourself into something that's just not going to happen.
I don't think it's – I said it's – I'm saying the odds are non-zero, which they are. Like, that's just a fact. You're making it sound like there's not a single chance.
Joey, even if his family is well off, which I can't speak to their financial situation, several million dollars is still a lot of fucking money. Like,
that's going to be waiting for him, Nick.
That's like completely
tame. That's a lot.
Tame.
That's a lot. That's a lot better than walking around Des Moines with a little bit of clout.
Yeah.
I'd take the money.
Yeah.
He's going to get the money regardless.
And his legacy is already known.
Zero chance that he has a career derailing injury if he comes back and doesn't take the bag by going to the NBA after this year, too. That has to be a big consideration for him.
And his legacy at Iowa is already set. Everybody knows he is the best player at Iowa that has ever been.
I don't know. It's easy for you to say. You've only watched 20 years of Iowa basketball.
We've never had a person win National Player of the Year, and in three straight years, we had a runner-up, a winner, and then we're gonna have probably at least a top three finisher this year.
So he's not even the best yet because he didn't win National Player of the Year.
We don't know. He still could.
He didn't even win Big Ten Player.
Fuck Johnny Davis. Fuck Johnny Davis.
He's got a lot to prove. He didn't even win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Guy's cheeks.
This conversation is going off the fucking rails.
All right, let's move to women's basketball. Or actually, I have a couple questions. Would you like to answer?
Wait, Trent.
Oh, yeah.
Are we done talking about the tournament?
We'll circle back.
We will come back to that.
Okay, all right.
We'll circle the wagons.
I got a couple questions from the crowd here, though.
This one's from Trent Pruitt.
No, this one's from Steve Winter. What was everyone's favorite play of each game or everyone's key play of the games that got us wins? Just say your favorite play of the tournament. Try picking something different.
Okay.
When Keegan fucking dunked all over the top of those two guys from Rutgers, that was awesome.
I really liked that three that Sanford just – we were tied, I believe, and he just boned that three right in that guy's grill yesterday.
He had no business shooting that three.
He's going to be a killer.
He hit back-to-back threes to give us back to a six-point lead.
Trent, do you have a favorite moment?
Yeah. Late in the game yesterday against Purdue, Bohannon inbounding it. Did we even know he was a southpaw? Just guns it like 85 feet, it bounces, and then someone slammed it home. Was
Keegan.
That
Keegan?
Yeah.
That was Keegan. I'm pretty sure it was Connor who inbounded that.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Stupid Parker.
By the way, Keegan got raked across the arms on that play.
Yeah, that should have been an and one.
I'm going to give my nod to it's actually a bad play. I'm going to give it to Josh O's air ball free throw.
It was a jump shot from the line.
It was a jump shot from the line, yeah, but it was not even close.
I think Riley Mulvey's attempted three would like to speak to you about that.
Mulvey hit the rim.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Mulvey did? I thought he missed everything.
I think he got like back iron.
Yeah.
I thought they both airballed him pretty bad.
But Josh O, otherwise I'd go with Josh O's spinning layup past was it Edie that time, or did he get Williams once?
Yeah, there's no way he got Williams.
Yeah, but that would be my other option. And then my other question comes from Austin's sister, Aubrey. Need to know if Luke cried either when J-Bo made the game winner or when the Hawks became Big Ten champs. You're fucking I cried. Not when J-Bo hit the shot. Big Ten champs, though. Definitely did.
You didn't cry when J-Bo hit the shot?
No, I was so excited.
Feels like a big-time Luke cry moment.
Yeah.
No.
I witnessed you on the floor uncontrollably sobbing after the Minneapolis Miracle. I have a tough time believing you didn't cry just a little bit,
Austin,
after J-Bo hit that shot.
Austin, that was like a 75-yard touchdown pass as time expired. This was just a deep three-pointer.
You were like inconsolably, like, we were literally like rolling around on the ground, like bawling your eyes out.
It was literally a miracle. Our quarterback that season was Case Keenum. What are we doing? It was a miracle.
Case Keenum was solid for us.
Oh, he was great that year, but it's still Case Keenum. Whatever. Yeah, I cried. I soak it in too, baby. I love it. All right. Oh, also, did you see this video of me hitting the? Did I send this all to you this morning? The gritty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Trent, did you get it?
I did. Yeah, I was on the list of receivers.
Gonna have to work on that.
Joey said, hold tight, and he never sent me one. So coward.
I got busy. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I'm sorry. Today. Some of us have to work, Luke.
Funny. All right, to women's basketball now. Big Ten champs, regular season champs. Number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they started, 7-4, but they had like a COVID delay in there, so they couldn't really hit their stride. They started the year preseason ranked 8th, and now they're just pissing excellence right now.
Yeah. The Iowa women's basketball team is an absolute fucking wagon.
I don't even know what to say. Like, Sinano is so fucking good down there in the post. I so hope that we play South Carolina to see that matchup.
That would be for the final four, right?
It'll be the Elite Eight.
Would it? Oh yeah,
because they're one.
Yeah, they're a one and a two.
But I would love to see that. But who do we play?
A 15 like
Illinois
seed.
Illinois State.
Oh yeah,
Illinois. One of those.
I'm trying to pull the bracket right now. I can't find it.
Hey, we should run a women's bracket. It's 68 teams now, right? Or 64?
Yeah.
It'd be fun. Especially since I was
probably
gonna win.
Are you going to continue your thoughts there? Or?
Who?
You. You just kind of stopped talking.
I was playing against Creighton. Big neighboring state matchup.
Yeah.
With the ladies from Omaha.
Screw Nebraska.
Illinois State, their first round matchup.
Who's playing against Creighton?
Iowa.
No, Iowa State.
Nope. Sorry, I looked at the wrong line. God, dang it.
Come on, Trent.
Pull it together. But no, the women are hot. Caitlin Clark, she should be National Player of the Year, and if she's not, that's an absolute joke. ESPN.
I don't know where we go to protest that, but if she doesn't win National Player of the Year, we need to go protest. Like, that is an absolute joke if she doesn't get... I said it on the last podcast. There's players like Aaliyah Boston all the time. She's great. She's great. But women's basketball sees that all the time. Nobody's ever seen what Caitlin Clark is doing in women's basketball. That needs to be recognized.
And like last year, she wasn't even a semifinalist or anything for the award for the player of the year. But Paige Bueckers had worse numbers than Caitlin did. Yeah, like it's what are we doing here?
I don't understand how this happens. Like, it's not like Iowa's a bad team either. They're a two seed.
It's because they get that, like, there's the media narrative that it's, like, the best player on the best team instead of just the best player. And Caitlin Clark is the best player, and it's not even close. She leads the nation in points per game. She leads the nation in assists per game. She averages, like, 8.2 rebounds per game as a point guard. Like, she's literally changing the way that women's basketball is played. Like, the Big Ten Network, three of their five most watched women's basketball games ever involved Iowa this year. Like, it's the Caitlin Clark effect. Like, she is just different. And the role players around her, like, Sinano shoots, she leads the country in field goal percentage. She shoots, like, 69% from the floor. She's an absolute wagon. Nice. Yeah. I don't know if that's exact. It's in the high 60s, but let's just go with that because it sounds
good round.
Cooler. Yeah, nice good round number there.
But she led the nation in field goal percentage last year, too. And she's not even an award finalist for the Lisa Leslie Award. Goes to the best big in women's basketball. Like, what?
Maybe we're putting too much weight into this because it's obviously just a joke if, like, these people aren't being considered for these awards. But it's still fucking irritating.
And if we want to do the best player on the best team, South Carolina lost in either the first or second round of their conference tournament to Kentucky. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me sick. Like, Johnny Davis winning player of the year. Johnny Davis is a great player. Keegan Murray's numbers were better across the board.
Yeah. I don't get it. But I tell you what, I think just the state of Indiana has got to despise the University of Iowa Athletics at this point. Like, in women's basketball, Iowa beat Indiana three times in, like, a 15-day span when Indiana was ranked top 10 for all of those. Then Iowa comes in the men's tournament, kicks out Indiana and Purdue. Like, we just have that state's number, apparently. Like, if I live in the state of Indiana, I despise Iowa with my whole fucking being at this point in time.
It's like that one asshole that made that 15-minute-long video.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, we'll tweet it out. This dude from Indiana, was he a writer for a website or something?
I don't know. I fucking hope not, because anybody that reads that is an idiot. He goes, Indiana is 10 points better than Iowa.
Yeah, he goes, if Keegan Murray doesn't make 8 threes, that's a fucking like 16-point swing or whatever. Yeah, well, he did because he's the best player on the court, but...
And my favorite part was when he, like, he would be breaking down the game, and then he would just, there was one part he randomly went, Fran McCaffrey can kiss my ass.
He goes, I hate Fran McCaffrey and his kids. It's like, all right, at this point, this dude's just yelling at a fucking cloud.
It's so funny.
Yeah. I know. I feel like we've all probably been there.
Oh, he's every fucking fan. I would say the same thing about Brad Davison, Wisconsin, all that shit.
I would just never.
I hate Brad Underwood, all that. But the second you make a 15-minute video and post it online, you're subject to ridicule.
Yeah, you know what? I was just going to say that same thing, but then I thought, we do the same fucking thing on this podcast, and then we post it online for everybody to listen to.
Problem is, nobody listens to it.
Yeah, we have tens and tens of listeners.
Really? Somehow we got talking about the men's team again, though. This is the women's team section. We got to give them their appropriate shine.
But yeah,
come out to Carver Hawkeye Arena at 3:00 on Friday and support your Iowa women's basketball team.
That's kind of a great thing that the women's tournament does. That if you're a top 4 seed, you get to host your first two games. That's kind of fucking awesome, actually.
That's dope.
Yeah, and this is like, I don't think. Like, Iowa women need to get respect because they made it to the Elite Eight 3 years ago, had the Big Ten Player of the Year, and made the tournament to the Sweet 16 the year following with Kathleen Doyle, maybe. And then it was COVID, and then Caitlin Clark last year took them to the Sweet 16, and then this year they're a number 2 seed. Like, it's not like this is a shockingly, like, good team this year. It's like... Over the course of a half decade, or if you want to look at Lisa Bluter's whole tenure, she's won 2 Big Ten championships. Like, she's done a lot of stuff, and she's basically annually gotten her team to the NCAA tournament. It's not a surprise, and I don't know why. What you have to do, what you have to sacrifice, who you have to kill to be considered like a perennially good team. You know,
you got to move to the South and become an SEC team.
Well.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. There is a lot of SEC bias.
In women's basketball.
But, you know, it's not even SEC bias, though, because, like, UConn is UConn. Like, Paige Becker has won that award last year because she played for UConn. Like, I don't know. It just pisses me off, like, media will just go with narratives like that instead of just acknowledging who they are. But, so Iowa, we've established, absolute fucking wagon right now. They're only going to be better next year. Like, Sinano has said that she's coming back for a fifth season. Iowa has three players coming in the recruiting class this year. All three of them are ESPN top 100 recruits. Two of them they won, like, the Gatorade Player of the Year in their state as well. So, like, they're only going to get better. Caitlin Clark is only going to keep amazing us. Like, look out for Iowa next, like, this tournament next year. And just, they are in such a good position as a program right now. It's crazy.
I guess Sinano's on that Bohannon study plan.
Oh, can yeah.
6 years, huh?
Yeah, she wants to.
You can get your doctorate for free. You might as well.
Yeah, she's great. But other than that, the Iowa and Iowa State women have a chance to play each other to go to the Elite Eight, I believe. And the Iowa State men have a chance to play with a trip to the Final Four on the line. Not that that's going to happen.
The state would implode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The women's Iowa-Iowa State rematch has a much higher percentage chance of happening than the men's, because Iowa State men's basketball is playing like dog shit right now.
But they'll either come out in this tournament and just fucking smoke a couple teams,
yeah,
or they'll get beat by 30. There's like no in between there.
Also, LSU fired.
Why were they so good to start?
I don't really know.
They were on fire, right? Didn't they start like?
Yeah, they were. I think, I don't know, maybe little juice in the program.
New coach
getting in a couple transfers. I don't really know. But yeah, they did come out of the season like a bat out of hell. Like, they were playing very good basketball, and then Big 12 play started, and they hit a cliff really fucking fast.
They beat Xavier and they beat Memphis, which Xavier wasn't ranked at the time, I don't believe, and Memphis started so bad. But and then they beat Iowa by 20, but we were a completely different team too. So it's like, I don't know what to tell you. I wouldn't bet on them winning any games. Although LSU did fire their coach. I was listening to the CBS basketball podcast. They fired their coach after the selection show. Is that right?
Yeah. This is the second time that LSU has made the tournament under Will Wade, and he has not been able to coach them in the tournament. First time because he was, like, suspended because he got fired because of that whole, like, money, like bribery type situation that was going on. I don't know why they waited, like, 3 years to fire him for that, but he was suspended initially for that, and now after that last game, then they decided to fire him. Really weird situation.
Yeah, I will
be honest.
What was that?
I was going to say, LSU has been paying guys for years. Shaq has literally came out in interviews, like, after the fact, and like, yeah, like, I only went to LSU because they offered me the bag. Like,
it's nothing
new down in SEC country to be paying players to go to your school.
Yeah.
I think everybody does it, though, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Buds.
Yeah. You can't tell me that Alabama isn't, you know, paying players. Like, all the top programs do it. I just, who's better at hiding it?
Yeah,
right.
Just one final note on the NCAA tournament before we actually go and break it down with Mr. Betts here. So many analysts have picked Iowa to the Final Four. Like, I think I've seen five or six people, like big names, do it.
Like, Dickie V's got us in the national championship game.
Dan Patrick has us there. Seth Greenberg has us there. John Rothstein.
Trent Brewitt.
Trent, breaking news.
All of the greats.
Breaking
all the
news.
Going deep.
Like, it's insane to think about. Like, and everybody kind of hates it, I think, but like, it is nice to get the recognition. It never happens with Iowa. Even as a two seed last year, Iowa was like coming in sluggish and like, it was just the typical, I'm not going to say Fran fade, but like, it was a slow end to the season to how we started, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the way Iowa's playing right now, it's kind of hard to argue against them making a deep run. Tell me a team that's playing better basketball in the country than Iowa is currently.
maybe Arizona, and that's kills me to say that, but that might be the only one that's playing at that level.
Well, we all can't.
I was red hot. They're playing insane right now.
We all can't play in the cushy Pac-12, though, as well.
The Conference of Champions?
The Conference of Losers.
Yeah, I hate Pac-12 sports, with all due respect.
You know what's something that I saw a commercial for it during the Big Ten championship game the other day that people kind of forgot about? The whole Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC alliance that came together after Texas and Oklahoma said they're going to the SEC. Apparently that's still a thing, which I forgot about. That's kind of funny.
Hey, J-Bo got interviewed on Jim Rome today.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was still alive. Like, that guy had a show. I don't know.
He's on CBS Sports.
Oh.
New side reporting during an NFL playoff game this year.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Hey, we should, before we move on to the tournament segment, we should do our top MVPs for the men's team.
Of the season?
Yeah. Do your top five.
Just from the Hawkeyes, right?
Yeah. I'll go first. Obviously, I have Keegan unanimously number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've got Perk, because he really turned it on in the second half of the season. Without him and the way he's playing now, there's no way we win that Big Ten tournament. And then I'm going to go with Connor, because I feel like he's just – well, his shooting late in the season one is one thing, but just his presence, I feel like he's a calming presence on offense. I feel like they run much more fluidly when he's on the floor. And then I'm going to go Chris and J-Bo. J-Bo had, like, a few really good games, which is why I put him at five. I was considering putting Philip Rabracha there just because I feel like Philip Rabracha deserves some love because that dude was getting beat up all year, wouldn't get any calls, getting ticky-tack calls, fouls called on him the whole year. So that's my top five.
Yeah, I don't really think that I'd put anybody different in my top five. So,
in that exact order,
I didn't really know that we were doing this, so I didn't like put anybody in a specific order outside of Keegan, obviously being number one.
I
said the group chat last night, right?
Yeah, you did.
I was a little confused on that one as well, but I'll just go straight down the list of scorers. Murray, Bohannon, Murray, McCaffrey, Perkins. Honorable mention, Philip Rabracha for most rebounds per game. Or second.
Serbian hammer.
Okay, I'll go. I'll start with my number five. I think I'm going to go with... Hold on.
Jesus Christ.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joe Toussaint.
Yes.
At number five. I mean, his defense, his offense kills me sometimes. Like, it's just...
Were you at one point in the season, like, big out on him?
I don't like how reckless he always plays. I'll say it. But, like, when it's good reckless, it's good reckless.
You take the good with the bad.
Number four, I'm going to go Connor. He can do everything. Best he's all-around defensive player on the team. Best passer on the team. Even developed a three-point jumper. What are you looking at, Joey?
I don't know about the best all-around defensive player on the team being
Connor.
He
can play, like, he can go up against the five, and he can also guard the point guard position. Like, he can do that. He's versatile. Number three, I got Perk. I mean, second half of the year, there was nobody more valuable probably outside of Keegan. Plays defense. I saw him smile in the post-game interviews the other day. Wild. Yeah, I've never seen that before. Number two, I am going to go Philip Rabracha. We've harped that drum all year. Without the Serbian hammer, how, like, we don't have a five. We would have to start Ogundele. Like, and he has played undersized all year, gotten fucked so much. He plays hard all the time. And, like, was it against Indiana? He went 5 for 5 from the floor with 10 points. Like, he can put up offensive points. He's gotten better at free throw shooting. So, and then number one, future Oklahoma City Thunder member, Keegan Murray. So,
God help us. God help him.
And then in 2 years, we'll get Bronny, and Bronny Jr. will come to town. Oh, man. championship on, pairing up with SGA and Poku and Lou Dort. Oh my God.
LeBron says he's going to go wherever Bronny goes, but if he goes to Oklahoma City Thunder, you can count that as a lie.
Arizona State legend Lou Dort, by the way.
He's out for the season, RIP.
The Dortcher Chamber. Put him in it.
All right. So what were we going to do now? Break down the bracket?
Yes.
Yeah.
All righty. So where do we want to start here? We've already talked about Iowa's matchup a lot, but...
Let's start in the West region and work our way around.
All right. Who do we like out of here? I mean... It's pretty obvious.
Duke.
Shut up. You like
Duke?
That's
not a real answer, is it? You like Duke?
Well, there's a two seed. It's not like it's an outlandish thing to fucking say.
I just think that they're not playing very good right now. And I think that, like, with Coach K, this being, like, his last tournament, his last games, it puts a lot of undue pressure on the players to, like, play the perfect game to win that title for Coach K. I feel like that's kind of an outside factor that hurts them a little bit.
I feel like that helps them. It's
and Coach K. We know the players have already let him down twice so far in the end of the year, so why not a third time?
I got Duke in the Elite Eight. So, I mean... But I got Arkansas going to the Final Four from that region. Ooh. I think Arkansas is hot. I'm on the must bus.
I like that.
I got Gonzaga, but I'll take Rutgers to the Sweet 16. I don't think Rutgers, dude. Geo Baker and Ron Harper can play on my team any day of the week. They are good players.
Rutgers has the worst loss of anybody in the field, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they do. They have the two worst losses, in fact. But they also have some of the best wins.
Like 302 Long Beach or something like that.
Yeah, like we all joked about how
net ranking of any team that's ever made the field in an at-large bid to 77.
We all joke about how bad Iowa's non-conference was this year, but Rutgers was below ours. That's insane to think about.
I mean, we had Virginia.
Yeah, but ours was still in like the 170s or whatever. That's terrible.
Okay, the thing is, like, your non-conference doesn't have to be that good if you're playing a 20-game conference schedule in the Big Ten. Like, it makes sense to schedule the bad teams and, like, let your team kind of work out and find their identity before you start playing tough teams.
What do you guys think of Michigan State versus Davidson? I was looking at that one for a while today. I was going to take Davidson, and the recency bias got me. The fact that they just lost to Richmond kind of put the damper on that one for me.
Yeah, but
Michigan State is so unimpressive.
Yeah, they're only 1-point favorites there.
Yeah, I ended up going Michigan State.
Yeah, Davidson, that's one of those where you hear that team name and you're like, oh, Steph Curry, like, they'll be a good 3-point shooting team, but that's like they don't have him anymore. Like, he's obviously like a once-in-a-generation type of player, so I think – like, people just hear that school name and they kind of associate that with him. They're like, oh, they should be a good team, which I'm not trying to say that they're a bad team, but, like, I feel like that kind of sways public opinion about Davidson as well.
This kind of feels like a scuzzy year where Michigan State will just win a couple games and piss people off. I could see him beating Duke. Like, I don't think Duke's been very impressive.
Duke's got, like, 5 first-rounders on their team. Like, just I saying. Don't – that's worth something eventually.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, I don't know. In the year when they had, Zion and R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish, were they an Elite Eight team that year, or did they make the Final Four?
They were in Elite Eight, I believe, but they almost lost to, like, UCF in the round of 32, Taco Fall.
Like, obviously, it's better to have that collection of high-level talent on your team, but sometimes, like, it can... Like, if there's too many guys that are trying to be the guy instead of just, like, playing together as a team, it can hurt you. Like, if Duke was Iowa, like, I would prefer for them to have all those, like, high-level players. But at a certain, like, it can kind of screw up just, like, your team chemistry to have too many guys that are trying to be the guy.
All right.
I think they're pretty young, too, right?
What's that?
They're pretty, like, pretty young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of their best players are freshmen this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want a freshman carrying the ball up. Not in crunch.
Do we want to move to the South or the East?
Well, wait. How about everybody says who they got going to the Final Four from that?
I did.
I got Arkansas. Trent, you got Duke.
Yeah, even though I just shit on them for having freshman guards, I'll still take them to go to the final.
I don't want the ball in their hands. I'll take Gonzaga.
I've submitted two brackets so far. I took Gonzaga in one, and I took Arkansas in the other.
Whoa, just use one. We can't have two brackets here.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, come on, Stan. Otherwise, we all get two picks.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair. I'll go with Gonzaga then.
Okay, so we all have four different teams. Luke, who'd you say?
Gonzaga.
Oh, okay, so three out of four.
All right.
Bums.
South?
South. I thought long and hard, giggity, about the Texas-Virginia Tech matchup. Because I don't think Texas is actually that good, and I think Virginia Tech's kind of hot. But I settled on Texas. What do you boys think?
You are looking at the East bracket right now, sir.
I think you're in the wrong spot, Chief.
Oh, sorry.
We'll do the East.
The ESPN app just fucking goes... I figured it go top, bottom, top, bottom. No, it goes... Yeah. So, yeah, do that one.
All right. In the East region, Joey likes Virginia Tech against Texas.
No. I ended up taking Texas. I think I thought long and hard, giggity, about that one. Because Virginia Tech's hot, and I think Texas is a fraud, but I would like to hear what you guys have to say.
About that matchup specifically?
Yes.
Yeah, I like Virginia Tech in that one, too. I think... what the fuck is the guy's name? Chris Beard. He's a traitor. Plus, Virginia Tech's hot right now. They did win a terrible ACC, but they still... They're probably one of the only teams ever to beat UNC and Duke in back-to-back days. Like, that just doesn't happen. So,
yeah.
Even though UNC is not as good as what they traditionally are, they're still a tournament team. Any other thoughts?
That's a pretty stacked region there.
It is. I would not want to be in that region. Whew. I mean, you got fucking Murray State as a 7 seed that's 30-2. St. Mary's, 5 seed. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that conference necessarily, but...
Holy shit. So I'm just looking at that Murray State-San Francisco matchup. I think that's kind of intriguing. I'm looking at this. According to CBS Sports, San Francisco's strength of schedule was 16th this year.
They must have had a brutal night.
I mean, they played Gonzaga... like twice, probably three times. Here's actually
notable results. Davidson win by 5. Gonzaga lost 3 times. St. Mary's lost twice. Loyola Chicago lost by 5. BYU won twice. UAB won by 2. So they played a lot of tournament teams.
I like the winner of that play-in game to take them down.
There's no play-in game.
There's no play-in game there.
St. Mary's won?
Oh, we're talking about
Murray State and San Francisco. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about St. Mary's.
By the way, I also like the winner. I think it's going to be Indiana to take down St. Mary's in that one.
So I think I like Purdue and Indiana a lot in this bracket, mainly because Kentucky's biggest or best player is a big who's averaging like 15 rebounds a game, which, yes, that is insane. But what do those Indiana and Purdue have that balance well with that? 2 7-footers for Purdue and Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson for Indiana. Like, I think those balance themselves out if Kentucky does get to the Sweet 16 against Purdue. Although I think they could lose to Murray State there in the second round. But I like Purdue coming out of this region.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about Purdue because on the one hand, I think that they're a very good team. And I think that Jaden Ivey is the type of player that can take you to a couple wins in the tournament. But at the same point in time, recently Purdue has kind of shown that they haven't lived up to expectations in the tournament. So I have a difficult time trusting them really far.
No, I agree. I agree with that.
I'm with Luke on this one, though. I got Purdue. I think They're a very good team. They have the bigs and the guards to do it. And I'm not completely sold on Baylor. I actually could see Baylor going down in the second round to North Carolina because North Carolina, they've got some guys. And I've, in the I mean, they obviously beat Duke on Coach K Day, which is obviously not an easy feat. I'm sure those guys were trying their hardest to win that game. So I don't know. It's kind of a wide open region for me. I think, like I said, I'm not really sold on Baylor as a one seed there. And Kentucky, I don't know. They kind of come and go with Shibuya, it seems like.
Yeah. So who do we have coming? Purdue for Joey and me.
I'll take a flyer on UCLA.
Oof. Wow.
Okay. Picking them to take a deep run again.
Johnny Juzang. Yeah. And Sten, who was your pick?
Oh, I'd have to take – I think I also went with Purdue out of this bracket.
Oh, after you were just shit-talking them.
I'm telling you, I'm the biggest hypocrite in the fucking world when it comes to stuff like this.
All right.
That there's going to be some chaos in that bracket or in that region. I'm excited for that one.
I think so, too. Between Murray State, Virginia Tech, Indiana.
Austin said, the Dons, they're pretty good out of San Francisco. I have heard some people saying they might be on they might have Murray State on upset alert round there.
I saw a thing. It was the last 2 years, seven seeds are what was it, like 6-2 against 10 seeds or something like that?
The other way around. 10 seeds.
10 seeds have beaten the 6 seeds more, or the 10 seeds have beaten the 7 seeds more often than not. Yeah, 10 seeds are 5-2 against 7 seeds in the past two tournaments.
That's a perfect transition as we move to the South, where Loyola Chicago is going to beat Ohio State in the first round. Oh,
I got a hard disagree there. I'm a big Ohio State guy right
really?
Now.
Really? I think Ohio State's playing horrible basketball.
They've got some
point in the season.
They've got some guys. Well, they've been a little banged up, too.
Everybody's banged up at this time of the year, though. It's
not
the
Iowa Hawkeyes.
All right. Why'd you say that? Why did you say that?
Go run a lap, Joey.
I could use it.
I don't know. Ohio State, like, they have E.J. Liddell is very good. I will give that to them. But I just think they lost, like, 3 of 5 down the stretch. One of them at home to Nebraska when, like, Ohio State was competing for – like a top 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament. They're just
– they got that guard, Branham, who's like – he's an NBA talent. He will be playing on Sundays.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like at this time of the year, a lot of it is how are you playing recently, and Ohio State is not playing good basketball when it matters most right now.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are still on the Sister Jean train from 2018 too.
She's got God on her side.
That's why I'm avoiding it.
She's worth at least 3 points.
Yeah, so
the hand of, she's 102 now. That's crazy.
Jeez.
I see there's like a few upsets in this bracket. So I like TCU to take down Arizona to get to the Sweet 16.
Jesus.
I think Loyola is going to win. Nova will take them or beat them to the Sweet 16 though. And then Michigan has a possibility of beating Colorado State.
I have Michigan. I bet on Colorado State a couple times this year, and they bred me both times, so I'm out on them.
Yeah. But I've got a spicy take in this region based solely on one comment that I heard during after one of the Big Ten games or during the selection show. Chattanooga over Illinois in the first round. I was watching a CBS pregame, and they were saying Chattanooga is a tough matchup because they got a lot of size. And I'll say it, I'm biased. I don't like Illinois. It'd be funny if they lost in the first round. So screw it. I'll take Chattanooga.
I know some guys who are on Nuga to cover the spread. I think it's 7.5 in that game. I think Illinois will win, but I don't know if it's not going to be a blowout.
See, I have actually Illinois coming out of this region. So
attaboy.
That's tough for me. I have TCU going to the Sweet 16. And then once they would face off against Illinois with a trip to the Elite Eight on the line, and they would the winner of that would face Nova in the Elite Eight. So that's how that plays out. Look at this.
I like that.
Full breakdown.
Let's get Arizona out of the tournament as fast as possible. We don't like them.
Yeah. Who hasn't picked this one yet?
I've got Tennessee coming out of this region. They're playing good. They're playing well.
I also have Tennessee coming out of this region. I think that that matchup Tennessee versus Villanova could be a classic. I mean, assuming that seeds hold, but I think that has the potential to be a very good game.
I just fucking love the Big East, dude. That's why I had Seton Hall beating TCU, Luke. I hate to break it to you.
Sucks to be you.
Big East over Big 12 every fucking day.
I'll ride with you here, Luke. Go with Big Bad Brad Underwood and Illinois Fighting Illini to go out of this region.
Yeah, yeah. Two Big Ten teams in the Final Four right now. For
no,
me,
so. No love for Houston. No love for Houston, even though they said that Houston has the, according to who, according to some experts, has the second best chance of winning it all for some reason.
Their resume is terrible. Give it a Google.
They play very good defense, though. They only give up 59.1 points per game.
So you're telling me we need to see Wisconsin and them play each other.
I would rather scoop out both of my eyeballs with a rusty spoon than watch that matchup.
Here's Houston's wins, big wins this year. Memphis once, lost two times to them. SMU once, lost once. Oklahoma State and Oregon. So they have like no – their BPI rank is 2. What the fuck goes into that calculation?
That's why the selection committee doesn't use it anymore.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Terrible.
I mean, they play like really good defense, I guess, but that's pretty much it.
All right. Now we move to the Midwest bracket. Final bracket.
Everybody's
here.
Favorite region.
The best region right here.
So I'll say it. I'll go first. I do have Iowa winning it in my pool.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole
spoiler alert
thing.
Fuck. Jesus, we're doing this one region at a time.
Yeah. That's a good sound right there.
That's a good crisp. Yeah, I got
bye. Time.
Iowa beating Kansas to go to the Elite Eight. I do think Iowa State will win the first round and face off against Wisconsin. I'd assume Wisconsin would win that game. And then I think Auburn's kind of fraudish. I think USC could topple them. So. Oh, yeah. But yeah.
So,
anyone else?
I got the Creighton Blue Jays taking down San Diego State. It's a little bit of an upset, 9-8. I just can't bet it, like I said.
Joey's a big-time Big East
Big
guy.
East,
biggest
Coach,
Big East guy around.
Coach McDermott, Dubuque County kid. You know. And I got Iowa State over LSU because they fired their coach, right? And
yeah.
I haven't watched an LSU game all year. I sort of never bet on the SEC. I don't know why. I just don't. I don't gravitate towards it. And then I got Miami over USC. That was really a coin toss for me. That's all my upsets from that region.
Wow. Here I am, second region in row, advocating for a 13 over 4. I think that South Dakota State has a decent chance of knocking off Providence.
Are you saying that because John Rothstein said that today?
Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely. Go with what the experts are telling me. They were 30-4 this year. They went undefeated in league play.
Okay, but look at their wins.
Don't Joey, care. The thing Washington is, though, State. They're the best three-point shooting team in the country, I think.
They also average 86 points a game. Like, if it comes down to a dogfight, like, scoring points matters in the tournament. They're a team that's proven that they can put up big numbers. Even if it is against kind of more mid-tier competition.
Maybe Providence will just get lucky like they always do.
Yeah, lucky bastards. All right, who's next?
Man, I'll go ahead and take – I think I was going to go to the Elite Eight.
I would take that.
You have no idea how hard I would be.
I'm taking Iowa to the Final Four.
Oh, my God, Trent.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I think this might be a cross board.
Say it. Spit in my mouth.
What?
I said say it. Spit in my mouth.
He said it.
He did say
it. I did. I was going to the Final Four.
No, I want him to keep going. He's edging right now.
That's about as far as they're going, in my opinion. I've also got the Hawks in the Final Four. I will say probably shouldn't have had them in the Final Four, but as an Iowa podcast,
we're riding the fucking wave right
now. I took them over Auburn, even though earlier on I had said that Pearl wants that game. So
yeah, I hate to have to say this, but I think that I'm taking Auburn to the Final Four out of this region. So that I'm still saying Iowa makes an Elite Eight here, which. Let's be honest, guys. If Iowa makes the Elite Eight, we will be fucking ecstatic about that. That will be the best outcome in 3 decades of Iowa basketball. Like, that's nothing to shit on. I just think that – I think that Auburn's a really good team.
I agree.
Also, none of us are giving any respect to Kansas here.
No, Kansas – it all comes back to me betting on teams and them losing. But every time I bet on Kansas this year, they fucking lost. Moneyline, I swear to God.
Yeah, and they have that coward Remy Martin at point guard, so
yeah.
we don't really like him around here.
All right. And cheater Bill Self.
So let's just run down our final fours quick. Mine was – and then say your champion. Mine was Gonzaga, Purdue, Illinois, and Iowa. We're very Big Ten heavy here.
Yeah,
a little bit. I had Iowa beating Gonzaga, so.
Jesus. Okay, mine was – Arkansas versus Purdue and Tennessee versus Iowa. And I had the two SEC schools meeting in the championship, 4-3 Arkansas versus Tennessee, Tennessee 77-74.
Ooh, even gives a score.
ESPN makes you do that.
Oh, okay. So I had my final four as Gonzaga, Purdue, Tennessee, and Auburn. And then I'm going with a Gonzaga-Tennessee national championship game with Tennessee coming out on top.
Ooh, I like that. That's fun.
That's fun.
All right, yeah, I have Duke, UCLA, Illinois, and Iowa. And I'll take Illinois over Duke in the final.
Boo. I can see it. Illinois, I think, is built.
Yeah, they are.
Kofi's time, Mr. Cockburn.
It depends if that head case Carbello wants to – how he performs the whole tournament. He is quite literally the X factor.
Yeah, the only person that I actually like on Illinois is Trent Frazier. I think that he's an absolute baller. Besides that, I really can't stand that entire roster.
Great name.
Frazier, I know.
Some are saying it's the best name. All right, so now we're gonna move on to our draft here before we wrap up the show, and it's gonna be a draft of the most uncomfortable situations. So I say we let our guest Mr. Betts go first, and then I'll go last, and you two can figure out for second and third.
Okay, I'll go second.
And we're only drafting three, right?
Yeah, I think three.
Yeah, three.
And it's a snake, obviously.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So, Mr. Betts.
Am I on the clock?
Yeah, you're on the clock, and you have 10 seconds.
Okay. I'll go ahead and say one of the most awkward things that you can do is when you say goodbye to someone, and then you guys are both going the same direction.
Oh, yeah. That is tough.
It's like...
You don't know what to say to each other when you, like, keep going.
Yeah, you're already conversationed out, and then you're like, oh, shit, now I have to walk next to this person for however long, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of awkward. Blows.
That's a very good pick.
So I got, like, if you're, like, with a group of people and you're talking shit about someone or about something, let's say talking shit about someone, and, like, one you end up finding out that one person in the group is, like, friends with that person or... like is like related to them somehow. This actually happened to me. So I was at a wedding this weekend and I didn't know anybody there besides the groom. And I was just sitting at a table with a bunch of his old coworkers. That's where he put all the misfits. And so there's two of us that worked at the old place and we were talking and the guy came over and he's like, yeah. Did he ever talk about it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he had a bunch of, like, bad stories about that place or something like that. And then one of the guys, like, sitting across the table worked there. And I was just, I found that out later. I was like, son of a bitch.
That's a good one.
But I'm sure he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sten? That's tough.
Okay, I'm going to go with when you and a stranger are like walking head on towards each other and you both do the thing where you keep like taking a step to one side or the other to go around, but you can't get around them. And so you just keep like doing a dance in front of each other, like left step, right step. That's really awkward whenever that happens.
I had that on my big board. That's a good one.
So this one I have is really like niche, but it's happened to me before and I can totally see it happening to a bunch of other people. In college, we were playing Cards Against Humanity, and the middle card was Bet You Can't Just Have One, and I played Dead Parents, and the judge that round, her mother was dead.
Oh.
So, yeah. That was tough. That was tough right there. That was a... Well, I don't
know.
That's
an awkward situation.
Yeah, like, how do you get out of that? That's uncomfortable.
Make a joke. You gotta make a joke fast.
We ended up being friends, so that was cool, but yeah. Oof, that was tough. My next pick is going to be when you sit down to go toilet paper or go to the restroom and there's no toilet paper in a public restroom.
It is an uncomfortable situation.
That is a tough one.
You gotta lose a sock.
See, usually I just do the wait till nobody's in there and then scamper over with my pants around my ankles.
Oh.
It's a risky play.
I've done it at Casey's so many times.
Flying off. Yeah, that's why you gotta sit there, or before you sit down, you gotta check and make sure you got toilet paper on the roll.
It's actually a rookie move to not.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for failure there, Luke.
I've gotten better at it. I've done it a couple times at Casey's though. Yeah. So, all right, Sten, you're up.
Are you back? Are you back up or no?
No,
so you just go back.
Oh, no, yeah, you went dead people and no toilet paper. Yeah. Dead parents, no toilet paper.
Okay.
Basically the same thing.
I'm going to go with, like, in a situation where you tell a secret to somebody, or, like, you talk about something that you thought that they knew, but, like, they didn't. So it was, like, a secret that you just assumed that they knew, and then you're the one that ended up breaking the news to them, and then you got to, like, try and backtrack what you said or be like, oh, like, I don't – there's no good way to get out of that situation when it happens.
Sort of a relative or offshoot of that one is if somebody tells you a secret and then you tell somebody that you, like, you trust, like, you're not supposed to tell anybody the secret, but you have to tell somebody, and then it comes out that person like exposed the fact that you told it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Joey.
Oh, me again. So, when you're like with like your friends and like there might be a couple and they start arguing about something like a boyfriend or girlfriend and like one of them is clearly in the wrong, but you can't say anything 'cause you feel like it's not your spot to speak up.
That's coward. Coward.
I got an offshoot of that. This is where I thought you were going with that. But, like, if you're in a situation where you're, like, third wheeling and, the couple that you're with just get into, like, some huge fucking argument and then, like, you're just sitting there while they're just, like, arguing the whole time.
Yeah, that's basically what mine was, except, like in that case, like, almost all the time one person is obviously, like, in the wrong. And, like, I have this internal struggle where I feel like I need to say something, but I can't because it's just gonna
not fight.
It's not gonna help the situation at all. In fact, it'll make it much worse.
Yeah.
All right, Trent.
All right. I'm gonna go back to the bathroom here, like Luke was. I'm gonna go ahead and say taking a shit in the stall where there's no doors. You just gotta go pants around the ankles and hope that someone doesn't walk by and just see you dropping a deuce.
Why the fuck is that still a thing?
Yeah, that is so stupid.
Like, that's how it was at my high school. There was a couple bathrooms that had that, and like it's cool back then because it's like funny because you're like 16 years old and goofy, but now that you're like a grown man, it's kind of weird.
That's how the stalls at Barber at Kinnick used to be.
Yeah.
It is just pretty awkward.
That yeah. I don't even risk sitting down. If that's the case, I will shit my pants.
Yeah. I will save it for the home court or shit myself if possible.
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right. And then finally here, my final pick.
Yep.
I'm just going to go funerals. They're just awkward. And really uncomfortable. Just you have to stand there for several hours. Just kind of like You know, it's just tough.
He's not wrong. Or like, if you're attending like the wake of somebody that like was like the grandparent of a friend, like you go there to support your friend, but you didn't really know the person. But then you have to go through like that whole like handshake line with like all of like their adult children, and be like, terrible. Oh, like sorry for your loss. Like, it's just you don't. There's no good way to be like, oh, I'm sorry the person that you love died. Like,
It's very uncomfortable and pretty tough.
Yeah, it gives me really bad anxiety when I have to do that.
That's a great pick, actually.
Those last two might have just won Trent this draft.
I got all three that I wanted, so I'm happy.
Joey?
That's funny.
Is Megan?
Yeah.
All right, we're headed back to the toilet. This one, I don't know if it's happened to any of you guys, but when somebody walks in on you, like sort of on the line of Trent, but when somebody walks in on you taking a shit, it's like you're a deer in headlights. It's like this happens to me. Like they have at the hospital, they have like on one of the floors, they have like these nice like individual bathrooms. And for whatever reason, twice I've forgotten to lock them. And both times I've been sitting there taking a dump and a nurse walked in on me and I'm just like, what the fuck do I do?
That might be worse than mine because you're not expecting it when someone
walks in the door. Yeah. Like you're midwife and someone walks in on you. That's like you're most vulnerable right there.
A kind of an offshoot of that. Maybe not that one specifically, but like if you're in a public restroom and you got to take a dump and like you just got like the fucking loudest farts in the world, like you're just blowing up the fucking toilet.
You used to blast off at that point.
God, I'm really self-conscious about that. Okay. For my last, why is it 70 degrees in here? What the
We're fuck? Bringing the heat.
My last one. We're going to be, you know, if you're out, you know, at the bar or the club on a night out at the town or whatever, and maybe, you know, trying to talk to some ladies, maybe dance a little bit, and you just, like, get shot down repeatedly, there's just, like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And, like, after a while, you're just like, all right, I'm going home. Fuck it. I don't care.
Can't relate.
I'm sorry. I'm not a fucking ladies man like everybody else here.
All right. This one... going to a strip club where you have no intentions of actually paying for like a dance or anything and having to repeatedly tell the workers no.
That's when you just gotta say yes.
I don't
just have, say yes.
Like, I don't have a lot of experience with doing this, but like every time I have, like I'd never have interest in just like, I'd much rather drink when I'm there.
Yeah.
But that
I
is
hope
the
Jenny
worst.
Jenny doesn't listen to this podcast.
Who?
I hope Jenny doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, she doesn't. She just went to bed, I think. So I think we're
good. She can just hear him recording it right now.
Yeah. She, so any honorable mentions? I think I got one or two.
I got one. My first honorable mention or my only honorable mention is when you were younger and you were at a friend's house and you were both doing something like deviant, like you weren't supposed to be. And the mom just starts laying into the kid, but she doesn't have it in her to yell at you also. So you're just kind of standing there like, oh, this is also my fault.
Like, oh, should I go home now?
Yeah.
I just thought of one. I don't know why it just came to me now, but like if somebody is showing you like a video that they think is hilarious, but you just do not think it's funny at all. So then you have to like sit there and like give like a couple courtesy laughs and like pretend that you think it's funny. That's like pulling fingernails situations like that.
That's horrible.
My honorable mentions were long road trips with people you don't know very well. So maybe like for work or something that just kind of blows. Mm-hmm. And then asking people to repeat themselves to the point where they stop saying it.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Or asking people to repeat themselves until you just nod your
head
yes.
You just nod or laugh. Like, you just laugh and hope that it wasn't something bad.
All right.
Yeah, I just had going for high fives and getting left hanging.
Ooh,
pretty bad. Yeah. And then elevator rides with strangers, just making small talk. It's kind of awkward.
Honestly, small talk in general could just be
the
one. I hate small talk.
Yeah, that was another problem for me at the wedding. I didn't know anybody and I don't like small talk. So I just kind of... You know, we talked about what we do for work, and that was it.
Yeah, that's tough.
But yeah,
how about the elevator.
Yeah, how about them Dodgers? The elevator one came to my mind before, but
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think the only other bit of Hawkeye news that I thought about was Brands got extended. So he's sticking around Iowa City for a while longer. Rightfully so. I mean, shut up, Austin. any other final comments here?
We give Trent a second to shout out his endeavors.
Oh yeah, thank you, sir. You're welcome. Yeah, you can find me on at Trent Betts on the socials, and our company name is Primetime Sports Betting Network. So we're Primetime SBN on the socials. Then you can go to primetimesbn.com where we have like full write ups for sports games, our best bets, things like that.
I get my hockey picks from
that. Quick question.
Oh yeah. Our Coyotes are up 4-3 right now in the third, so we're looking good.
Quick question for Trent. Has Primetime disavowed Russia, officially taken a stance? Oh, wow.
Yes.
All right, here to hear first.
We're anti-Vlad. That's why I like you, Luke. You're always asking the tough questions.
Not Guerrero, Putin.
All righty, guys. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Hawkeye Tailgate Report. Hopefully the Hawkeyes can tie a couple together here and they live up to the hype that everybody's giving them right now. Thursday can't get here soon enough. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can follow us all on Twitter. Mine is Myers_Luke. Joey's is JoeMama2196. Austin's is Myers Austin. And the pages is HTR_pod. That's the same for Instagram. And look us up on Facebook. Just surpassed 2,000 followers there. Shout out to all you people. Thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, go Hawks.
And fuck Nebraska.